Welcome to the Binge Breakers podcast. I'm Jacqueline. I am here to teach you how I overcame bulimia and my binge eating disorder, and how you can too. Through simple steps of mind management, repairing your relationship with yourself, understanding your habits, and intuitive eating.
Disclaimer, this recording is not intended to be used as medical advice, nor is it advice from a doctor. I am a coach, a recovery coach, and I offer advice from my own experience and my clients, but please, if you think you are in need of medical help, seek it immediately. We'll also be talking about subjects such as binging and purging, depression, and other sensitive topics, so if those trigger you, please listen at your own discretion. Welcome to another episode of Recovery 101s, and this one is about how to feel your feelings. Now, one, you may ask, Jacqueline, why are you talking on a bulimia recovery, binge eating recovery, eating disorder recovery podcast about feeling your stupid feelings? Why is that relevant? Well, thank you for asking. You know, it's just concerning how I can have a conversation with myself at all times. I really wonder about my mental health sometimes. But thank you for asking, fictitious you listening out there, real person listening out there. The reason feeling your feelings is important is because it's one, pretty crucial for actually being able to manage an urge. What I mean is, when you are binging and purging, generally what happens before you binge and purge is a feeling. That feeling may occur quite quickly depending on how automatic the habit is, but you're going to experience an uncomfortable, or maybe comfortable depending on how you feel about it, emotion that drives you towards binging and purging. And there are multiple ways to not binge and purge and to address that. And some of them have nothing to do with dealing with a feeling or coping in the moment or anything. It has to do with addressing some of the root causes that may be creating the urge in the first place. But even if you address that root cause, you may still experience this urge and these uncomfortable emotions. And part of the way that you navigate not binging is learning how to feel and cope with those emotions instead of resisting them or doing what they tell you to do or trying to take some maladaptive action. In our case, it's usually binging and purging to subside, to get rid of that emotion. So feeling your feelings for that alone is super crucial for bulimia and binge eating recovery. It's also helpful in recovery because you're going to experience a lot more emotions, because binge eating and purging, though it's not only a emotional coping tool. Binge eating and purging happens for a lot of reasons. And I think anyone says it's only numbing, or it's a self-harm behavior, or it's only because you haven't eaten enough. There are coming at it from a very black and white view. There's lots of different reasons why you binge and purge, and usually it's multiple reasons wrapped up into one nice little sickly bow. But part of it is emotional coping, even if it's just to cope with the urge itself that you have built into an automatic habit. And so when you get rid of binging and purging, generally what happens in recovery is you experience a lot of feelings. You experience a lot of overwhelm and uncomfortable emotions and kind of usually a lot of sadness and happiness and all these things. Just feelings become more intense. And I found this to be the case for myself, that when I stopped binging and purging, I wasn't numbing so much. And then suddenly I was just a lot less numb to not only uncomfortable feelings like sadness, anger, rage, disappointment, but then also happy feelings. And so it was just really a lot. And sometimes I realized that binging and purging just wasn't when I was upset, it was when I was happy, that I would try to bring myself down. And so really, when you're not using that tactic anymore, you're not distracting, you're going to become more sensitive to your emotions usually. And in that case, you want to know how to feel your feelings. So that's why we're going to talk about this today. Now, this is from, if you don't know, I run an 8-week group coaching program. And every single Tuesday, we meet twice a week, Tuesday and Fridays, and every single Tuesday is a special topics call. And this is a call that I always do in the program for people, which is about feeling your feelings. And I have a whole module about it in the program. This is kind of the quick version of that. And it is basically what I say, but the magic obviously in the call is that we talk back and forth about it and people ask questions about it. But this is why, and I just explain why it's crucial to it, but this is where this content is from, if you're wondering where I'm getting these ideas from and why I'm talking about them. So we covered why it's actually important to feel your feeling, what the benefit is. And also outside of recovery, I'd say another benefit of feeling your feelings is that you get to deal with so many other things in life. Like when you think about it, lots of things that you want in life take some sort of effort. They require some sort of discomfort and some sort of, you know, you experiencing something you don't necessarily like in order to get to the next level. Getting yourself up for work on time, putting in extra effort at work. Maybe you're planning on starting a family. That's uncomfortable. That's a lot of healthier, putting yourself out there, going on dates, whatever it is that you're trying to take action towards, you're going to experience some sort of discomfort. So even though it seems like, oh, this is just about binging and purging, this really is about actually getting work, getting whatever goal you have in your life done as well. The skills that you learn here are applicable to everything in life. So that's another side benefit that's not recovery related at all that I found in my own life. How to feel your feelings. Now, I think it's good to go over, I go in this more detail, but what are feelings? There's lots of different theories and research done on what feelings actually are, but essentially what feelings are a group of systems in your body that are possibly responding to triggers around you that are creating sensations in your body. They are chemicals and hormones. They're gastrointestinal cramping, muscle spasms, increased or decreased heart rate, blood flow, temperature changes, vision changes, tingling of your skin. They're that. They're sensations in your body that are created by a group of systems in your body that are responding to stimuli that is either real or not. But you are perceiving it to be real, your body is perceiving it to be real, and therefore you are responding with a sensation that is what we call a feeling. That's the best way I can describe it. And the reason I'm doing that is because feelings, I never, when I, my younger adult, when I was a child, no one told me of this, and they no one told me that your feelings are sensations, but they're not a problem, and they're not something you necessarily have to change, and they're a normal part of being a human, and you can just be with them and experience them, and they're not going to kill you, they're not going to hurt you, you don't have to avoid them at all costs. I think people maybe kind of in my day when I was a kid said, you know, feelings, it's okay to have feelings and big feelings, but no one really sat me down and was like, you're going to have uncomfortable emotions, you're going to have sensations, and they're not always bad, and they're a part of normal life. And I wish that someone had sat me down and told me this, because when you put a name to what's actually occurring in your body, because when you experience fear, when you experience anxiety, and you experience panic, all those really uncomfortable emotions, or you experience happiness, joy, love, vulnerability, whatever feeling it is that you find uncomfortable, it's a little scary and it's all encompassing and you don't necessarily know what's going on. You have the sensations, but you don't have a name for what's going on. You don't know where in your body those sensations are occurring or what exactly is creating that feeling. You know, when your stomach drops, it's a really scary feeling and it feels like it could be a threat to your survival. And most likely you're perceiving that maybe there's a, depending on the feeling you're perceiving, there's a threat to your survival. So you are then going to panic even further. And that's why the feeling's occurring. And then you take that in and it makes the feeling worse. So sometimes creates panic attacks, right? And so knowing that the feeling isn't necessarily going to kill you, it's just a group of systems, your organs firing together to create little sensations in your body, that at least makes you feel a little bit calmer because you know it's not going to kill you. It's not necessarily something to get rid of or panic about. So that's what are feelings in a short bit. But then when you are feeling a feeling, I think the best strategies, there are multiple strategies that you could take, and different strategies work for different people. And I would, after this podcast, I think I said it on a recent podcast too, just look up Google how to feel your feelings. You're going to find a lot of different things, and different people work in different ways. It depends on what type of person you are, and it depends on how much you are like to be in your head and rationalize things versus being very somatic and experiencing it that way. It just depends. I tend to be a pretty good hybrid. I think I'm a little bit more in my head and maybe I need to do work on that of being more in my body, but I'll describe the ways that work for me best and then a few alternatives that I don't always use, but I do sometimes use that can work for people. And then of course, I highly recommend you do your own research after this podcast episode of like, how do I feel my feelings? How do I be present with my feelings? But the first thing to say, before you do any of these things, don't do this with the expectation, again, to get rid of the feeling or to make it go away. That is not the point of feeling your feelings. The point of feeling your feelings is to be with it and be present and allow that feeling to be there in your life while you then move forward in your life. The feeling is not a problem. I mean, of course, I know if you're dealing with chronic anxiety or depression and stuff like that, you should probably go see a doctor and talk with them about how you're feeling. Something else may be wrong. But there are having ups and downs in life is a normal part of life, and you have to be able to experience that feeling without paralyzing yourself and go on. So stop trying to make the feeling go away and instead shift the perspective to how can I observe the feeling in my body? How can I be curious about the feeling? How can I look at it as something that it's my body's trying to tell me something? It's a signal from my body, and instead of ignoring it or making it a problem, how can I kind of listen to my body instead? And how can I experience it and lean into it? And when you lean into it and experience it, the feeling is more likely, especially if it's uncomfortable, to kind of go away. There's going to be a peak and then it will subside, and it may come back in waves, in and kind of little moments, but actually experiencing the feeling and allowing it to be in your body, you're going to process it faster rather than resisting. You're just kind of delaying in the inevitable, or you're probably going to cause some health issues long term by delaying feeling your feelings or ignore something crucial in your life that you need to change or understand. Okay. My favorite strategy, which I've told on the podcast before, is one, describing the emotion and describing the feeling, the actual sensation, and not just sadness or saying sadness, anger, whatever, not putting a word to it, but describing physically what is occurring in your body. This may be difficult for you if you're used to disassociating or not being in your body, but I'd invite you just to try and take guesses. And I find when people take guesses at this, then they're more likely to confirm, oh yeah, I think that is the case, or yes, no, that isn't the case. I think it's this thing instead. So even if you are describing it incorrectly, you'll be able to then test that and see and get to the root of it. And you can also, again, look up on Google, like ways, like descriptions for emotions and sensations that describes emotions. If you need to put more language to it than what I'm describing here, I'd highly recommend doing that. All right. So common questions to ask to help you process your feeling. If you're feeling it right now, take a moment to just close your eyes, or if you feel more comfortable, stare at an object or something like that to focus. And instead of hunching over, just kind of open up your chest a little bit and then go into your body, meaning kind of scan through your body and try to identify where the feeling is in your body. Is it in one localized place, or is it in multiple places in your body? Is it an all over feeling? Is it more internal, meaning like is a deep feeling in your heart or in your stomach, somewhere in the core of you? Or is it more of an external feeling where it's closer to the surface of your body, on your skin, that sort of stuff, or just underneath your skin? How deep is it? That's an important one. And then is it moving or is it stationary? That's an interesting one to think about. Is it going back and forth? Is it kind of wavering? Is it tingling? Is it kind of going in waves, like wow, wow, wow? Is it that sort of feeling, you know? And then is it heavy? Is it a weighty? Is it kind of compressing? Or is it light and airy and kind of flowing away? Does it have a sound? Does it have a color? Does it have a smell? Does it have a temperature? And just keep going through, like, what are all the physical sensations that I'm experiencing? And what's beneficial about this is that the very act of describing that emotion forces you to feel it, because you have to, in order to describe what's happening, tune into your body and describe what is literally happening in your body. And therefore, you actually feel your feeling in that moment. Even if it's only for 10 seconds, you are feeling your feeling. And I would recommend trying to do this for 20 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute if you can, or 2 minutes. Just keep trying to like increase the time frame with it. And then after you've done this, it can be helpful. You might notice that this alone makes the feeling, especially if it's super intense, like an urge or something, less scary, because again, you've put a name to it. You understand what's happening. It's not so scary anymore, because it's like, oh, it's right here. It's localized to this area, or it's kind of like these are the things that are happening. It's not like, it's not death. So that can be helpful. But after, you can ask yourself, does this feeling have a name? And is it trying to tell me something? Are there any thoughts attached to this feeling, or is it just a feeling? Sometimes there are thoughts attached to it, and that's fine. Sometimes there are no thoughts attached to it, and that is fine too. And what's interesting about that is sometimes, especially if you're experiencing an urge and you do this exercise, you're like, huh, I don't know why this feeling is making me want to binge. You realize that you're associating that feeling with binging. Sometimes it definitely does, and that's okay. But for some people, I've noticed this too. Like sometimes when you just observe the feeling like this, you're like, oh, I don't think I want to binge from this feeling. It's just uncomfortable, but it's not like unbearable. It's just like a weird, it's like someone poured water over you and you're like, oh shit, this is not as bad as I thought it was. So that can be helpful. So that's one way to do it. Another way you could do it is trying to just lean into the feeling. So the best way I can describe this is I find sometimes when people are feeling something uncomfortable, they tend to be kind of in a frozen state, and they kind of hunch their shoulders in and their chest is caved in. They're kind of curled inwards and they're not breathing, and they're kind of holding breath, and they're holding everything tight. They're kind of clenching everywhere. So if you notice that you're doing this, it could be helpful to just breathe in and focus on slow exhales and breathe out, and think about like you're breathing in the feeling and then out the feeling. Like, let the feeling circulate through your breath. That could be a good way to visualize it while you're breathing. And then open up your shoulders and straighten your spine out a little bit and try to open up your lungs and roll your shoulders and just let the feeling like melt in. Try to unclench things. You can go through unclenching from your eyebrows to all the way to your toes and just go slowly through all those things. There's a lot of guided meditations that can take you through that, and that might be helpful too. So that's another way to do it. Some people prefer to just move into the feeling, like wiggling their whole body around. I very rarely do this, but sometimes I do if I have a lot of like bouncy energy, and that kind of people that know me like know that I sometimes get the zoomies, really. I do, which is weird to say, but those times I like really feel like I just need to move and like move my body around and wiggle it around, get up and dance a little bit, or just like shake out my body. Sometimes people find tapping to be a useful one. I never use this, and I was guided through it recently at an event I was at, and I really hated it, but some people live and die by tapping. So if you don't know what that method is, go Google it, because I don't feel like I'm the best person to talk about it, but supposedly, I've not experienced it yet. It's amazing. Like, people love it. So those are ways to kind of feel your feelings. Another way is just to be frozen, which is something that I've never talked about too much, but a lot of times when I wanted to binge and purge, something I would do is that once I got through like the biggest part of the urge, the feeling was still there, but I had decided not to binge and purge. So I would go to my room and I would just close the door, turn on the fans, make it a dark room, and pull the curtains and just lie in my bed and stare at the ceiling. And oftentimes I didn't go on my phone or anything, and I wasn't asleep. Sometimes I would sleep, but I wasn't usually asleep. And I just couldn't do anything else. And I don't know how I had the wisdom to understand that that's actually what I needed, but it really, really just was my central nervous system trying to regulate and get out of a freeze response and just allowing yourself to be in whatever response you're in till the feeling goes away or till you feel like you can move again is a valid form of feeling your feelings. And I think people, they overcomplicate it and they're like, how do I do this weird thing? It's like you just be with it and you just allow whatever's happening to happen till you feel like you can cope or move again. And it doesn't have to be super overcomplicated. It doesn't have to be this whole meditative 5-step, 12-step process that you need a journal for and a candle for and some incense for and a yoga mat for. It can just be being there with it, which is something that I wish I had heard a long time ago. So yeah, those are the best ways I know of feeling your feelings. If you have any other opinions on that, feel free to email me at jacqueline.davis.biz@gmail.com about it, or go to my Instagram and DM me. I'd love to know your favorite methods for feeling your feelings, but I think these are the top ones. That is it for today. If you want to know more information about what I do and how I help people, you can go to bingebreakers.com or you can go to my Instagram at bingebreakers_bulimia. Both have pretty good content on there. And then if you did like this episode and you found it helpful, please give it a rating and review. It helps me for sure. And it also helps other people who are struggling just like you see the podcast more and possibly get help and work with me if it's the right fit. So yeah, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Never ever give up on yourself. Bye.